Well, we're in the second part of this series, Time of Your Life, and we're talking about time. And last week, we began with this kind of unsettling truth that all of us have limited time, that you have a certain number of days and you don't know how many you have. And so we looked at a verse that Moses wrote. It's in the book of Psalms. It said this, and this was kind of the theme of last week. Teach us, and this was a prayer, teach us to number our days, that is to live as if there are a limited number to our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And last week we said that if we live in light of the fact that our days are numbered, we're going to make better decisions. Because whenever you think you have more of something than you need, you always tend to waste it. We all do that. But to live as if we really had a limited number of days informs our decisions and allows us to make better decisions. That there are actually bookends to our life, and this isn't a depressing thought. This is actually where we leverage the time that we have for a sense of purpose and a sense of destiny. So that was kind of the big picture we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about something very, very practical, and I want to talk specifically about how to get the most out of your time. And it's a very, very simple principle that perhaps you've heard before, but what's so interesting is that we find it in the scripture. In fact, we find it in the Old and the New Testament. And I thought it would be kind of fun to illustrate it before we actually open the scriptures together. You may have seen something like this done before, or perhaps you've heard about this done before. So let me present to you our time. The jar in our illustration is going to represent any amount or allotment of time. This could represent a day, this could represent a week, this could represent a year, or this jar could represent your lifetime. And all the little pebbles in the jar represent all the cool and fun things you do that basically waste your time. Things that you don't want to give up, but things that you would admit, maybe not all that important. For some of you, about half the pebbles in this jar represent Facebook. Okay, I'll let you decide who you are. The pebbles in the jar represent Facebook. They represent shopping online. They represent driving through car lots to look at cars you can't afford. They represent driving through neighborhoods to look at homes you can't afford. They represent staying out too late with friends. It represents that extra round of golf. It represents all the television you watch, all the internet that you surf. It just represents all that stuff that fills up our time. Things that we don't want to give up. Things that kind of make life spicy and make life fun and just make life enjoyable. But we would all admit they're just not critical to our success. They're just things. And then to add to that are all the things that we would admit are important. If you've got kids, obviously you have to put your kids in the time jar. They're important. And then for those of you who are married, this represents your spouse. You want to make sure there's time for your spouse. Maybe you would like one of these smaller ones. Anyway, one of these represents your spouse. And then we have to go to work. We got to spend time on the job. And then for those of you who are in school, you got to make sure you have time to study. And then there's the church rock or the spiritual life rock or your community group or small group rock. And then there's the exercise rock or the leisure time rock or the whatever it is. And so all of that has to fit in the course of a day or a week or a month or a year or a lifetime. And for many of us, this kind of represents our lives. That there's just not enough time in the day. There's just not enough time in the week. There's not enough time in the month. You look back on your life or a season of your life and you say, wow, the kids are grown and gone and I just missed too many ball games or I missed too many dinners at home or there just wasn't enough time to get it all finished. And the point that we want to make today as we continue our talk about the time of your life and discussion about the time of your life is simply this, that the key to getting more accomplished in life is not simply adding. The key to getting as much done as possible in life is prioritizing correctly. In fact, the principle I want to leave you with today is simply this, that priority determines capacity. Would you say that with me? Priority determines capacity. One more time. Priority determines capacity. It's what you put in first that ultimately determines the capacity of your life and the capacity of your time. Now, this is a pretty amazing thing. Watch this. So here goes Facebook, 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 golf, internet, hangout, shop, car lot, all that cool stuff that you think it's not critical, but I sure don't want to give it up. Now watch this. We're not even done. With room to go. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's what I don't want you to miss. Priority determines capacity. The priorities of your life determine the capacity of your time, whether it's a day, a month, a week, or in fact a season of life, or perhaps a year of your life, or perhaps your whole life. Now, that's probably not new information. And the question that I want us to ask and talk a little bit about today is, why don't we live this way? Why don't we prioritize correctly? Why don't we put the big rocks in first? And the reason is, for some of us, we've never sat down and asked the question and maybe written the answer down, what are the big rocks in my life? What is really most important to me? What are the non-negotiables? What are the things that at the end of this year, the end of this season, the end of my education, the end of my first few years of marriage, what are the things that I want to look back on and say, I put those in first. They weren't left over. I didn't have to force them in and cram them in. Those were the priorities of my life. Along with that question of what's most important is really who's most important. See, if you're married and your spouse is here today, they're a big rock, aren't they? In fact, I'd like you to turn to your spouse and say, baby, you're my big rock. Just go ahead and just don't do that, really. That's not a good idea. Okay. But isn't it true? Or if you're sitting with your kids, or if you know that relationally, those are the big pieces. And the interesting thing is, and we've all, unfortunately, if you've lived long, very long at all, you've all bumped into this reality that busyness, when you're just trying to force things in, cram things in, and add, and you're always adding and not prioritizing, that ultimately the busyness and that sense of busyness and rush, it destroys intimacy. That intimacy in a relationship, not just sexual intimacy, but intimacy at every level, is oftentimes destroyed by busyness. Busyness and intimacy are not, they don't work together. So consequently, we just by nature economize on our relationships as we add, and we economize on the relationships that we know are most important because we don't prioritize. But chances are, there's room for everything that you need to have crammed into your day, your week, your life, or this season of life if you begin to prioritize correctly. The problem, of course, is that we live in a culture that's all about this stuff. That we live in a culture that very rarely pushes us or motivates us or forces us to prioritize correctly. So consequently, we're pushing, we're heading upstream. Consequently, we're moving against the force of gravity. Consequently, if we don't make the decisions and if we don't decide ahead of time, you get to the end of a season of life. You get to the end of your high school career, your college career, those first few years of marriage, or the first 15 or 20 years of marriage, or the first 15 or 20 years in your career. You get to the end of that season and you look back and you realize, wow, I wish I could go back and recapture that. But unfortunately, I put the wrong things in first and I wasn't able to put the important things in at all. In fact, probably all of us could look back on a season of life and wish we had done this better, that we had prioritized what we believe really are priorities, and then put the other things in later. So this whole discussion and this whole principle begins for all of us with this question: what really is most important to you? And who is most important to you? And what would it look like in your day, your week, your month, your year, or this season of life to prioritize correctly and put those things or those people in ahead of all the other things? What would that look like for you? What would have to change? What would have to be rearranged? What would you have to quit doing? How would it look different on your calendar? How would you rearrange your week? How would you rearrange your afternoons to make sure that you prioritize correctly? Because priority determines capacity every single time. Now, at this point in the discussion, we come to a fork in the road because there's two groups of people listening today. For those of you who would say, Andy, I may be watching a church service online, or I may be listening to a church service, and I may be attending a church service, but I'm not a church person, okay? Somebody promised me lunch. Somebody promised me I'd meet somebody cute. I got caught in the traffic and just came here. I'm not really into this whole thing. Then for you, the application is very simple. Maybe while we're finishing up our time together, you just need to start making a list because we don't take time to do this. What's really most important to you? And then figure out how to put those big rocks in first. But for those of us who believe in God, and especially those of us who are Christians, and those of us who would say to the best of our ability, we're trying to follow Christ or follow God, there is another component to this that's huge. Because in the Old and the New Testament, we are told very specifically that we're supposed to put God in the jar first. That there is a God rock that is to be the priority. And the promise in Old and New Testament is this, that if the God rock goes in first, it impacts the priority of everything else in our lives. That the God rock, in a sense, becomes the organizing principle around how everything else in our lives is ultimately organized. Now, if the idea of a God rock sounds a little sacrilegious, it's interesting. Moses and David, King David, both referred to God as a rock. Now, I don't think they were thinking this, but look at this verse. This is kind of interesting out of the book of Psalms. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock? We even put a capital R, so it looks good. And who is the rock except our God? So even David and even Moses refers to God as the rock. So we're going to talk about the God rock today, and we're not being sacrilegious. There's a biblical precedent for that. Now, the other thing that's interesting, when you open the Bible and you read about this idea, in the Bible, in the English Bible, you don't find the word priority or prioritize. The Bible equivalent of the word priority or prioritize is really the word seek. And throughout the Old and the New Testament, believers in the Old Testament and New Testament were encouraged to seek and to seek earnestly and to seek first. And this was the Bible author's way of saying, put God in the jar first. That God is to be the organizing factor, the ultimate priority, the largest rock, the first rock in, the rock that determines all the other priorities. It's found around the word seek. Here's a couple of examples of that from Psalm 63. You, God, are my God, earnestly I seek you. I think David would agree. You can only earnestly seek one thing. Again, in Psalm 119, I seek you with all my heart. You can only seek one thing with all your heart. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And here's an interesting parallel. Here's two ideas that are used together to say where David says, I'm seeking you with all my heart. And by seeking you with all my heart or by prioritizing you over all other things, it reorders the way I live my life because your commands become the priority and your commands inform the decisions that I make. And then the book of Proverbs says it this way. Evildoers do not understand what is right. You've met people who just didn't seem to know the difference between right and wrong. In fact, there may have been a season of your life that you were confused about right and wrong. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord, there's our phrase, or prioritize God, or put the God rock in first, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Interesting insight. He said that to understand what is right and to understand what is good what's required is to seek God, or essentially to put God first, or to put God first in your bucket or your jar. That the priority of your life, the organizing factor of your life is simply God. I want to know your will, and to the best of my ability, I want to do it. That's the priority. But probably, in fact, undoubtedly, the most popular and well-known version of seek God and seek first God is found in the New Testament in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said words that many of us have heard 1,000 times. In fact, even in this church, we've talked about this passage so many times because it's so central to everything we believe as a Christian. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, so, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Now that's a rock we got to put in. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? And that's a rock we got to put in there. What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? That's a big rock for many of us. We spend a lot of money and time worrying about what shall we wear. Jesus says, don't obsess over those. Don't put those rocks in first. He goes on and says this. For the pagans, and a pagan is basically a person who lives as if there is no God. For the pagans run after, which is essentially another way of saying seek. The pagans seek all these things. And then he gives us a contrast, one that most of us are pretty familiar with. And your heavenly Father knows, and I think this is where the tension builds for many of us, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Now here's something to think about for those of you who are Christians. Do you really believe? Now I know you'll say yes because you're in church, but beyond the fact that you're in church, do you really believe that your heavenly Father knows what you need? Do you really believe? I mean, all those things you want to cram into your day, your week, your month, your year, all the things you worry about, is it going to fit in? Am I going to be able to find it? You know, is it going to work out? Do you really believe that your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need? Because if you really believe that God, who is God, knows what you need, why in the world would we not put him into our lives first? And I think one of the things that we wrestle with, even as Christians or God followers, in terms of the priority of our life, is it really up to us totally, or is there a God that's invited me to call him Father who really knows what I need and is willing to intervene along with me or intervene on my behalf? Jesus said that your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need in your jar and how much you need of it. And so he draws the logical conclusion. If that's the case, here's what he says. But seek first. That is, when it comes to your day, your week, your month, your year, this season of life, or your life in general, seek first or prioritize first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then look at this promise. And again, many of you learned this as a child or learned a song where you repeated this over and over. And all of these things, all of those things that we know need to fit, all of those things that we've got to have to live, all of those things that we know are important and a priority, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Now, here's what that verse means, and putting this with what it says in the Old Testament, here's what all that means. That is, men and women who believe in God, and for those of us who are followers of Christ, that what we've been called upon to do is to seek first and foremost the will of God for our lives, and to the best of our ability, to obey God's will for our life. That when it comes to the minutes of the day, the hours of the week, or the month, or the year, or season of life, or for all of our lives, what we've been called to do is to seek first, to earnestly seek, to put in first, to prioritize everything around God's will in fulfilling and obeying God's will for our lives. That your heavenly Father has invited you to invite him to be the organizing principle around which everything else in your life is organized. And you know what? I think that the best way to demonstrate that, the best way to express that, the best way to make that practical, and you've heard me say this before, is to devote to God every single day the first few minutes of your day. And in doing so, it's like saying, God, in this day, the priority of this day is you. And so I'm putting you in first. I'm giving you my first few minutes as recognition of the fact that you are central and you are first in my life. For me, here's what I've discovered. And I know many of you could raise your hand and say you've discovered this as well. That when I say yes to God at the beginning of my day, it is much easier for me to say no to those things that would distract me from what I know is most important. And when I say yes to God at the beginning of my day, it is easier for me to say yes to those interruptions that I need to say yes to, even when it means not finishing everything on my to-do list. And when I say yes to God at the beginning of my day by giving God those first few minutes in prayer or scripture reading or whatever routine that you choose to develop, when I say yes to God in the first few minutes of my day, it is far easier for me not to worry about all the things that don't fit into my jar that day, because I can live with this sense that, God, I have devoted this day to you. I've recognized you first in this day. You knew the interruptions that would come. You can handle it even if I don't think I can. When you say yes to God at the beginning of your day, it will give you greater insight into what to include, what to prioritize, and what to leave out. I love this quote from Martin Luther. This is awesome. Here's how he said it. Pray and let God worry. Pray and let God worry. Now, the interesting thing about this quote, there's a larger context to this for Martin Luther. Martin Luther said that on the days that he had the most to do were the days that he rose the earliest and devoted more time to prayer. He said that the busier the day was, the more time he devoted to prayer, because that's how he ensured that as he moved through the worries of the day, he never lost sight of the fact that this was about doing God's will. When I begin my day by saying yes to God, I worry less. Now, let me go out on a limb here and ask you a question. For those of you who have a consistent morning devotional life, how many of you would say, on the days that you're consistent in your prayer life and your devotion life, that you worry less in the day, and it is easier to say no to those things that would distract you from what is most important? How many of you have ever experienced that in your life? Yeah, a bunch of you. It's just a principle. And so we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament that we've been invited to invite our Heavenly Father in first, to recognize Him as first. And one of the practical ways and one of the most practical ways of doing that is devoting your first few minutes of every day. Now, I realize for some of you, you got to have a shower first, okay? And I realize I'm not saying that you drop to your knees right off the edge of your bed. I know people who do that. I know a guy that says he gets up every morning and immediately hits his knees and he raises his hands and say, God, I devote this day to you and I devote myself to you for this day, every morning. You may not want to do that. It may freak out your spouse or your children if somebody walks in. But the point is, according to your personality and your routine and how your morning or your day goes, to figure out how to devote the first few minutes of every day, because your first few minutes of time oftentimes sets the direction and the pace and the tone of your day and the emotions around your day. And all I know is this: on the days that I'm faithful to devote to my Heavenly Father those first few minutes, when I say yes to Him at the beginning of the day, yes, here's my life ticket, it is far easier for me to go with the flow of interruptions, to stay focused on the things that deserve my attention, and to say no to those things that would distract me from what I know in my heart is most important. For me, I have a pretty lengthy routine, but part of my routine that I do every single day, even when I'm sort of compressed for time or oversleep or don't get up as early as I normally do, one of my normal routines is I've created my own version of the Lord's Prayer, and I would encourage you to do this. Don't copy mine, but most of you know the Lord's Prayer by heart. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have some version of that you grew up saying as a child, perhaps. And in the Lord's Prayer, it's so powerful because it begins with this declaration: God, You are the great God, our Father, hallowed be your name. So in my little devotional way of spending my first few minutes with God, I just declare God's greatness. I say, God, You are the great God. You are the creator of heavens and earth. You've made everything, Your power. You know, I just tell God how great He is. And then I say, so what else could I do but serve You today? What else could I do but submit to Your will? What else could I do but surrender? If You are the great God, what else could I do but say, I want to know Your will. And to the best of my ability, I want to do Your will. That's the priority of my life. What other response is there to the greatness of God? And then I say, God, so I'm going to give You my hands, I'm going to give You my lips, I'm going to give You my eyes and my ears. I'm just giving all of this back to You this day, because I don't know what is going to fill this day. I know what's on my calendar. I don't know what's going to fill this day. But at the end of this day, the most important thing isn't that I got everything done. The most important thing is at the end of this day, I've honored You with the time You've given me to live for You. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, it's so interesting because the Lord's Prayer says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those debtors, and, you know, give me my daily bread, and, you know, it has all those three. So I've sort of dropped those down to three little P words that I pray every day, that I declare my dependence on You for my protection, provision, and pardon for my sin. For my protection, for provision, pardon my sin. And I pray for you too. And I say, God, I just declare our dependence on You for the protection for our church and the people in our church and the marriages in our church, for protection, for provision, that You provide for us what we need, and the pardon of our sin. Now, that's my little routine. And that's always part of a broader routine. But every single day, because here's what I've learned and what many of you have learned. When it comes to time, if you put the God rock in first, even on a daily basis, it reorients your thinking and reorients your life and your time around God's will for you and God's will for your life. Now, if that sounds kind of out there, you know, or yeah, I'm so sure I'm going to drop to my knees and raise my hands, and you got to figure this out. But here's what I already know about you before you kind of discount this whole thing. Here's what I already know. You're already seeking something first, aren't you? You're already seeking something. There's something that you're seeking first. I mean, the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. You're seeking something first, and most of you don't even know what it is. But I'll tell you how to find out. The person that knows you the most and spends the most time with you and lives with you, they know what you seek first. Ask them. Here's how they know. They listen to the questions that you ask, because you tend to ask lots of questions about the things that are most important. They know what you worry about. We tend to worry about the things that we think are most important. They know what you talk about the most. We tend to talk about the things that are most important. They know what you spend your money on. We tend to spend our money on the things that we think are most important. The people that live with you or married with you and spend the most time with you, they know what's most important to you. You are seeking something first. It may be wealth, it may be fame, it may be 1,000 friends on Facebook. Have I mentioned Facebook? It may be maybe a size to be a size 4. It may have something to do with golf. I mean, there's something in your life that you're seeking first. And my advice is, seek all that stuff. just don't seek it first. Just don't let it be the organizing principle around which all the rest of your time and all of the rest of your affection and emotion and life are organized around. You're going to seek something first. Why not make an attempt? Why not through your own personality and your own style? Why not come to the place where you can say, Heavenly Father, more than I want all that stuff, I really want to know and do your will. And as an expression of that desire, I'm giving you my first few minutes to say all of my time belongs to you, but especially these first few minutes. I want to reorient my thinking and start my day centered on what's most important to me. So I'm going to give my time to what's most, in my early moments, to what's most important to me. And guys, let me kind of, you know, ease your thinking. You're not going to be less productive. You're not going to be less productive. Think about this. Jesus only did ministry for 3 years, and 2,000 years later, we're still quoting him. Now, you may be a big shot, but 2,000 years from now, nobody's quoting you, okay? Nobody even knows that you existed 2,000 years from now, should the earth go on, okay? So this isn't about less productivity. In fact, you'll be more productive, because here's what you already know. When you prioritize correctly, you have greater capacity. When you prioritize correctly, your capacity in terms of your time increases. And to put first into your time, whether it's a day, a week, a month, a year, a season of life, to put first your Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father's desire to show you His will for your life will not decrease your productivity. It will increase your productivity, because there's more peace, there's more sense of pacing, and there's more a sense of accomplishment at the end of the day when you realize I didn't get everything done that I tried to cram into the day, but God did the best of my ability. I knew and I followed your will for me. And the other interesting thing about this illustration and the other interesting thing about this whole concept is this. God won't force his way into your jar. God, the big rock, doesn't come crashing in. There's a verse that maybe you heard as a child if you grew up in Sunday school. Or it's in the book of Revelation where Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and, what's the next word? Knock. You know, it's not, behold, I kicked the door in and took over, you know? It just doesn't do that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And in the Old Testament, we found God knocking on the door of Israel saying, I'd really like to be front and center. I'd really like to be the organizing principle of the whole nation. Would you let me in? And sometimes Israel said no. Sometimes Israel said yes. And so he says to you and he says to me, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I would like to be the big rock in your life. I would like to be first in every day. I'd like to be first in every arena. I'd like to be first in every relationship. And if you'll put me in first, and you'll prioritize correctly, and you'll prioritize around your desire to earnestly seek me, then as Jesus said, and all these other things will be added to you as well, if you'll seek me first. So here's my question. What would that look like in your life? With your schedule, with your personality, with the way you're wired, with the way you do life, what would that look like? What would it look like? What are those first most productive minutes, and what would it look like to give God your first few minutes? You say, well, Andy, I'm not really a Bible person. There's so many devotional books. I mean, there's so many ways to spend the time. I don't think that's really the issue. What would that look like, and what would it hurt, and why not? And if we all agree that priority determines capacity, why would you not, as a God-fearing person or as a Christian, not give God or devote to God your first few minutes? Because here's what I think you'll discover. When you begin your day by saying yes to God, you'll find it much easier to say no to those things that compete for the priorities of your life. And when you say yes to God in the first few minutes of your day, you'll find it easier to say yes to those relationships that should take precedent over the to-do list and the things that really are important but not most important. And if you begin your day by saying yes to God, you will worry less, because you will have invited God into the entire day. One of the things that I do sometimes that I learn from someone else is sometimes I pray through my schedule. I say, God, you know what's going on. At 10:30, I'm doing this, and at 12:30, and at the end of the day, and God, I just want to invite you into all of that. And if the whole thing gets disrupted, God, I'm just moving into this day, assuming that you're going with me, ahead of me, and that you're part of it. Because at the end of the day, my goal isn't to put a check by everything on my list. At the end of the day, my goal is to live this day in a way that pleases you. Priority determines capacity. So what's most important to you? Who is most important to you? And what would it look like for you to beginning your day by devoting to your Heavenly Father the first few minutes of your day? Priority determines capacity. What's most important to you? Who is most important to you? And what would it look like for you to give God the first few minutes of your day? If you do, I think you'll discover that it will be far easier to prioritize everything else along the way. Now, next week, in part three of this series, we're going to talk about compounding minutes. You've heard about compounding interest. We're going to talk about compounding minutes. It's another powerful, powerful time principle found in Scripture. And then 2 weeks from today, we're going to have Bring Your Boss to Church Day, okay? We've never done this before. Bring Your Boss to Church Day. We're going to talk about a principle related to time that only works at work. It does not work at home. In fact, you shouldn't even try to do this at home. It'll be a disaster. It is totally a time work principle we find in Scripture. And if you don't want to bring your boss, you can just bring somebody from work. But it's the perfect Sunday to invite that person from the office that you've been thinking, what would be a good time? It's bring your office partner or your boss to work Sunday 2 weeks from now. But here's what I want you to do in the meantime. I want you to decide, regardless of where you are spiritually or where you are in terms of what you believe about God, what's most important to you? How do you get it in first? And if you're a Christian, what would it look like? What would it look like, the way that you're wired and the way that your life goes, to devote to God the first few minutes of every day as an expression of your desire to know and to do His will, an expression of your desire for the rest of your life to be organized around the priority of your Heavenly Father? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it's so much easier to talk about these things than to actually do them, and you understand that. But would you please give each of us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard? For teenagers, for singles, for newlyweds, for couples with kids in the morning, it's just chaotic. Would you give each of us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard? And would you give each of us the insight to acknowledge what's really most important? What really are the priorities? And Father, I pray that even this week that some of us would experience, maybe for the first time, the energy and the power that comes with prioritizing correctly because we prioritize You first. Father, You're the giver of life, and we acknowledge that our days are numbered. And we want to number our days so that we gain a heart of wisdom. And Father, today we've discovered just a little bit more of what that looks like. So please give us the wisdom to know what to do with what we've just heard, and then the courage to do it, beginning tomorrow morning. In Jesus' name, amen.